I thought I would just touch on a few things tonight. Then we have a baptism. So if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 4. I want to just touch on them. I wrote down 10 things, Brother Mark. Hopefully we'll get to them, but I don't know. Shouldn't be too hard to get all that. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. By the way, we don't meet on the seventh day. The seventh day is a Sabbath. Are you with me? We meet on church on Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. Sunday is the day Jesus rose from the grave. That's why we... And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And so you read those first couple chapters, you see the creation. I'm glad in the beginning God created. We didn't evolve from a monkey or some other thing. We just didn't happen by happen chance. We were created by God. Amen. And I know Brother Phil teaches this in our Christian school. I'm glad he does about creation. And are you still doing those creation classes on Wednesdays? Good. Amen. I just want to give you one thought about creation. It was 7 days, 24 hours. Some people say, well, how do you know how God took years to make this world? No, he took 7 days. And the reason you know too, Bobby, I'll just give you one example. Look at in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That's how come you know that it's 24 hours, Brother Mike? The evening and the morning, you see that? How many see the evening and the morning? That means, it says an evening and morning the first day, an evening and morning the second day, evening and morning the third day, evening and morning the fourth day, evening and morning the fifth day, evening and morning the sixth. So we know that the creation was in 24 hours, sunrise, sunset. How many are with me? So don't let some evolutionists, don't let somebody that's an atheist or an infidel try to teach you against creation of God. Okay, then now turn to Genesis chapter 5. By the way, there's tons of things I could touch on. This is what the Lord put in my heart to show you tonight. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. How many see that? The generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Yeah, God made us God's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said in Genesis, stay there in 5:1. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man. It's a Trinity. And God made us a body, soul, and spirit. Just like God's a Trinity, man's a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. When we die, our soul and spirit leaves. Our body goes back to the ground. When Christ comes back, he's going to raise that body. Amen? But I want you to know something. Notice I know that I've taught you this before, but I just feel important. Someone needs to hear this. Did you notice the generations of Adam, 5:1 of Genesis. Look at verse 3. Adam lived 130 years. He begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he got Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were how many years? But then look at what it says at the end. He died. Look at verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And what happened to him? Look at verse 11. And Enos were 905 years. And if you'll just keep reading all these. He died. There's something about the generation of Adam I want you to get. All in Adam die. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all sin. I was talking to Kenny Conklin about people with diseases and stuff like that, and we've been praying for this little boy named Jacob, little Filipino boy, and we're praying for him. And you say, well, boy, is God mad at these people? No, Look up here. All your sickness, all your sorrows, all your death stems from one place, not from God. It stemmed from Adam and Eve sinning from the Garden of Eden. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Don't blame God for all these diseases. No, it comes from sin. The wages of sin is, yes. But, aren't you glad for that but? The gift of God's what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, where one man brought us, Romans chapter 5 is so tremendous. It gives a contrast of the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam brought you condemnation and death, and the last Adam, he brought you justification and life. Amen. But hold your hand there in Genesis 5:1, because we're going to come right back to it. So the generation of Adam, what do we learn from the generations of Adam? All die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "For it's appointed unto man once to die." So, but then look at the then just hold your hand in Genesis, but go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at the generations of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. How many see that? How many? Don't lose Genesis. I'm coming back. And the rest of the time we're going to be in Genesis. The book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So in 5:1 of Genesis, you got the generations of Adam. And then we learned something about those generations of Adam. What was the distinctive thing about the generations of Adam? They all died. Now let's look at the generations of Jesus Christ. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas. How many see that? And Judas, verse 3, begot Pharaoh. If you just keep reading, they begot. Sergeant Cotiver, when you begot something, that means you bring forth life. Do you ever notice something? Betty, all the generations of Christ, they have life. All the generations of Adam, they bring death. So you want to be in Christ. Now, I realize all these people died, but the Bible's trying to give you some truth there. How many are with the preacher right now? All in Adam die, all in the last Adam, Christ, live. Amen? Go back to Genesis chapter 5. I want you to see a few things. I'm going to play off these in just a few minutes. In Genesis 5:5, you'll find out that Adam lived to be 930 years old. In Genesis 5:27, you'll see the oldest man recorded that ever lived. It was Noah's grandfather, Methuselah. How many see Genesis 5:27? It says he lived to be 969 years old. And look at that verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. That fellow, he was there for a while. Can you imagine how much Social Security he could have collected? Man, that guy made out, didn't he, Mike? And that system wasn't in too long then either. So you see, that's the oldest recorded. Now I want you to see something. Notice at Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. And keep all these stuff in your memory bank, because I'm going to bring something up. I'm building a foundation to try to teach you a truth here. Enoch walked, how many see 21 of Genesis 5? Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. How many see that verse 22? Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and for God took him. Enoch never died. He was what the Bible calls translated. And there's other teachings, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. Enoch is a type of the church. He was raptured out before judgment. Enoch was taken out before the great judgment of the flood. Are you with me? So, Brother Jim, Enoch is a type of the rapture going up, taken out without dying. Of course, the ark is a type of the Old Testament, the type of the Jews going through the tribulation with Christ protecting them in that little city called Petra. How many are still with me? See, but see, Christ, the ark is a type of Christ. Anyone in Christ is protected. There was only one door to get in there. Jesus is the door to heaven. Amen? But I want you to stay with me now. Only two people, the Bible says, all the generations of Adam what? Bible says it's appointed a man all once to die, and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. There's only two men recorded in the Bible. Two men recorded in the Bible that didn't die. And that's Enoch, Genesis 5:24. And then you got Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. How many with me? And so, only two men. And that's why a lot of people, when you get to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, when they talk about those two witnesses, it's going to be during the trib. Right after the rapture, there's going to be a seven-year period, which is the worst. By the way, we're really close to it. It's the worst time coming up. By the way, the way that we've seen the world, we could tell that time's not very far, is it? And they are going to be building that third temple. And I love how Robin put in that bulletin last week. Did you know that they're starting to build? They're talking about building that third temple, and they really are. And but there's only two men that never died, and that's Enoch, who walked with God, and Elijah. Now, that's why a lot of men who believed during that trip, the Revelation chapter 11, those two witnesses that stand up for God for 3.5 years and they're killed in the middle of the trib. Many, Billy, believe it's because those men never died. Those are probably the ones that are going to be there. I don't know. Just says two witnesses. I know the one has characteristics like Elijah. Can bring down fire. The other one has things like Moses. But Moses died. Of course, they never found his body. How many are still with me? And so don't panic over that. It's nothing to worry about, no matter who it is. Amen? But it's a good chance, Brother Rod, that it could be Enoch and Elijah, those two witnesses over in Revelation chapter 11. Now, man was so wicked, God repented that he made man. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Look at Genesis chapter 6 in verse 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented that the Lord had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, when I read the newspaper or hear the news, there's so much evil going. Sometimes I tell Rosie, I can't believe somebody could do this. How many have ever said that? And Betty, I bet Jenny and John said to her, "Well, Betty, I didn't think it could get any worse, but now look what this is on TV." How many know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you right now. It was so wicked in the day of Noah. It was the most wickedest time this earth has ever seen. Did you know? The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 37, "As the day of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, don't be surprised that it gets more wickeder and wickeder all the time. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back. Are you still with me? They used to, when you and I were kid, well, not you, but when I was a kid preacher, you guys are still a lot younger, but the Southern Baptists, they used to teach, they were what they call post-millennialists. And they used to teach the world was going to keep getting better. Brother Jim, they said, the world's just going to keep getting better and better and better. And Diana was going to get so good, we would usher in the kingdom. They don't teach that too much anymore. Kind of like that Daffy Duck or the Looney Tunes. That's all, folks. You know, it's not going to keep getting better. It's going to keep declining. Matter of fact, ever since man sinned in the Garden of Eden, man has not got better. Man has went down. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, we think, well, boy, we're so much far superior. No, Adam was so far superior than we were before he sinned. Trust me. The human races went down ever since. But aren't you glad Jesus is going to come back and make us go back up in more than one way? Amen? And so, by the way, there's other signs of, you ought to read about all those signs that's going to be with in Genesis about the signs of Noah. Because there's a lot of there were giants in the land too. Start looking for some big people. Hello. I won't get into that tonight. I got a lot of thoughts about that. But notice, are you still in Genesis with me? Look at Genesis. Can you imagine, though, as much as God loved man, he looked down, Dale, and he looked down and saw man. It says there in Genesis 6, 5 and 6, Lizzie, as much as God loved us, he said he repented that he made man. That's a pretty big statement. Can you imagine how bad man had to been? Are you with me yet? How many are still listening to me? And he says, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Now, you know, he didn't have Lowe's. He didn't have Home Depot. Yeah, he didn't have Stanley Tools. And he didn't have, what's one of those, some of those power tools you guys, starts with M? Milwaukee. He didn't have none of them. He didn't have none of those, Brother Mike. You know? But he had to build an ark. Look how big that ark was. Look at Genesis 6:15. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 15. This is the fashion which thou shalt make. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, Lizzie, a cubit is about 18 inches. So if you take the average length of about 18 inches, you can figure out how big that ark approximately was. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. So we know that if it's a foot and a half for one cubit, so 300 would, that ark was 450 feet long. 450 foot long. That's a pretty big boat. Amen? Yeah, that's right. There you go. I'll relate to those football players, Di. 4.5 football fields, fellas. That's how long. Even Elway couldn't throw the ball that far. 4.5 football fields. 450. I wasn't going to go there, Liz. I don't want any more trouble than he is already. And then the breadth of the cubit, 50 cubits. In other words, the width of it, 75 foot wide. So you got the ark 450 feet long, Mike. And then you got 75 feet wide. From this wall all the way to that wall out there, probably. Okay? How many are with me? 70, and then it goes 45 foot high. What is there? And then the height of it, 30 cubits. So you got a ship there that was 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, and 45 feet high. Boy, that's, and no power tools to build it. Hello? Good thing he had those three boys, though. I bet they worked. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, amen? Oh, I bet you them boys worked. They say, Dad, we got to go play. He said, you ain't playing nothing, pal. You're getting here. We got to build this ark. Amen? Now, stay with me on this. How long were they in that ark? Let's look at Genesis chapter 7. By the way, there's hundreds of things I could bring out. I only got like 25 minutes, so I'm trying to touch on things I thought would be a highlight to you. In the Lord, look at verse 1 of 7:1 of Genesis. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for they have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah was the only one in all that generation. Can you imagine that? I'm going to show you later. Noah had brothers and sisters. I'm going to show you later. Noah had brothers and sisters, and they weren't in the ark. They got left behind. Of every clean beast thou shalt take by sevens, and every male and female beast, okay, and are not clean to two males, and you know the story. But look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. He tells him to get in the ark with his family. And then look at 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, every living substance I will destroy. It was a worldwide flood. It wasn't just over in the Middle East. It was a worldwide flood. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now look at this. Noah, verse 6, was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. Are you still with me, church? Drop down to verse 11. Drop down to verse 10. And it came to pass, and by the way, it always does when God says something. You can always take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And it came to pass after 7 days. Remember what he said in verse 4? Yet 7 days. How many see that? After 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, mark this, give this thought to you now. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month and the 17th day of the month were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. How many see that? How many see verse 11? And the windows of heaven were open. Now watch. He got in there. When was he in the ark? He was in the ark when he was 600 years old, his second month, the 17th day. Do you see that? Now turn to Genesis chapter 8, verse 14, 11 through 14. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated off the earth. And he stayed another 7 days, and then sent out the dove, and it returned not again. Now look at verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year. Remember, he got in when he was 600 years old. Are you listening to the preacher? People think Noah was only in that ark for like 40 days or 50 days or 75 days. Noah was in that ark for over a year. Can you imagine? No football games, no NFL, nothing for over a year. They had to go buggy. No McDonald's. What's that? Cabin fever, unbelievable. Not to say all those animals in there too. Notice, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now watch verse 14. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day, the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark. Now watch. He got in when he was 600 years old, Billy. In the second month of the 17th day. John, now watch your Bible. Now he's coming out at 601, second month, 27th day. How many see that? That's a year and 10 days. But don't forget the 7 days that he got in prior. Remember 7:4? How many are still with preacher? 1 year, I wrote this down. Where did I put it down here? He was in there 1 year and 17 days. 1 year in that ark. 1 year, 17 days. Don't let no one else talk you out of it. It's in the Bible. 1 year and 17 days. You're going to read it differently, like 75, 115 different things. I remember years ago, the Lord showed me that, and I happened to see it, and Dr. Brooke said, yeah, we were there. He was there 150 days, and I said, no, sir. That's the only time I ever caught him with anything. I felt so good, I got to teach the dean of college something. Doesn't do good for your grade, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't show the dean up. And, boy, all the great things he showed me. What a great man. And I just said, sir, look at this, because some kid said, was he in there 150 days? Said, that might have been. I said, no, it wasn't 150 days. He was in there over a year, and look at this. And John, Dr. Brooks said, you're right. I never saw that before. He was in 1 year and 17 days. Man, he couldn't ride his Harley for over a year, Sean. Can you imagine that? Think about it. That's a long time. I'm wanting you to think about something. You don't realize how devastated this world was. You have to visualize this whole world was over the mountains of the highest places in the world. It was covered with water. Nothing survived. No birds, no animals. Are you with me? And the only ones that survived were inside that ark, the people. The people and those animals inside that ark are the ones that survived. How many are with me yet? I didn't take no fish one, so maybe if some fish made it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this world was devastated. Folks, I'm going to show you something just 1 minute here. I'm trying to get to it. This world before the flood was a tropical paradise. There was like a covering over this earth. They never saw a snow. Like we're in this. I thought about this one. Made me think about it, Kataver. You know, when I was young, I used to love snow. Boy, the older you get, the more you hate it. But they never saw, Jimmy, they never saw a snowstorm. They never saw a snowstorm. They never saw a rainstorm before the flood. Are you still with me? They had a tremendous climate. And by the way, if it never rained, never snowed, how did God water the ground? Well, if you study your Bible in Genesis 2:6, it says that the, well, look at, hold your hand there. Look at Genesis 2:6. I'm leading up to something. It said a mist came up, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. How many see that? Yeah, God had his own waterworks down here. Go back to Genesis chapter, where do I got you? Chapter 8. So I want to know, they were in that ark for 1 year and 16 days. And now, look, while you're there, look at Genesis 5:30. Genesis 5:30, I mentioned this earlier, and Lamech lived after he begot Noah, 500, that's Noah's dad, 595 years, and he begot sons and daughters. Noah had brothers and sisters. Guess what? They weren't in the ark. Guess what? They died and perished. Folks, there wasn't hardly any saved people there at all. Just Noah. Hello? How many are still with me? I'm getting you to think now, aren't I? Methuselah was not saved. He died without Christ. That's another story. I brought that. I got a chart and everything. I gave you a chart a year ago on all this, but I can't do it all tonight. But I want you to see something. Look at Genesis 8:22. Can you imagine, Lizzie? Not only those. Can you imagine being in the ark and having your sisters and brothers bang on that ark? Noah, please, we changed our mind. Noah, please, let us in. We changed our mind. You see, Mike, God is the one that opened that door, and God's the one that closed that door. Noah couldn't open the door, and Noah couldn't close it. See, the only doorway to heaven is through Christ, and he's the one that controls all things. Noah gave the warning. People didn't hear the warning. Was it God's fault that they perished? No. If they would have took the warning, they would have been saved. Hello? How many are still with me? Look at Genesis 8:22. After the flood, Billy, that's when you had a climate change. A great climatic change. While the earth remained seed time and harvest and cold. How many see that? 8:22. And heat and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And it hasn't. Boy, we can attest to it here in Ravenna, Ohio. We got the snow. We got more coming Friday. They never had a snowstorm. before the flood. Can you imagine living in Hawaii all the time? It was better in Hawaii. Now watch. See, there was more than just a change of the climate. I'm going to show you something here. The life expectancy of people dropped off drastically because of the climate change. Remember in Genesis 5:5, we told you that the people that was born before the flood, like Adam, he was 930 years old when he died. Noah, he was born before the flood. He died after the flood, but he was born before the flood. In Genesis 9, verse 28 and 29, he lived to be 950 years old. Watch. Now look at Genesis chapter 11. Everyone that was born before the flood lived longer, but after the flood, people died sooner. They just kept going, dying quicker. How many are with me? Look at Genesis 11:10. These are the generations of Shem. You know, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And by the way, Shem is the line, is your Jewish line. That's where Abraham came out of. Are you with me? That's the bloodline that Christ came from, if you want to stem it all the way back. And these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begot Arpax, whatever how you say his name, 2 years after the flood. Hey, Rod, here's something that I, and Pastor Dave, here's something I caught while I was reading. I never caught this before. If you look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 22, the children of Shem, Elam, Assur, Arpax, and Lud, and Aram. Huh. I don't understand it, Carl. But usually God always puts people's names in order. Those other people are not even mentioned. How many are still with me? Usually they put the oldest son first. Are you with me? But they didn't put him there. They didn't even mention him other than him. Gotta be a reason. I don't have the reason, other than maybe they were so wicked, God wouldn't recognize them. Could this Apex been the first kid born after the flood? Could he have been the first one born after the flood? How many are still with me? Are you still with me? I want you to think with me. And then look at Shem lived after he got Arpaxad. I'm killing that kid's name. 500 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And Arpaxad lived 530 years, and he begot. And Arpaxad lived after he, verse 13. He begot 403 years and got sons and daughters. In other words, Shem lived to be, I've got to get out in front of me. If you study this, Shem lived only to be 602 years. That's a big difference from Noah, 950, his dad. This Arpaxad, he only lived to be 438 years old. He's born after the flood. Dropped down. If you'll drop down, you'll see that, if you just keep studying this whole chapter, in Genesis 11, 17 through 19, you'll see Peleg lived 30 years after he begot Reuel, and Peleg, after he begot Reuel, lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. He only lived to be 239 years. How many are with me yet? How many see the life expectancy dropping? Boom, boom, boom. Man, I'm going to tell you, Bobby, they went from living 900 years before the flood to less, now they're down to 200 within a few generations. The first son born in the new world, as far as after the flood, he only lived to be 438. Are you listening to me? And then you go down and you get to Nahor, Abraham's. Look at that. He only lived to be 108 years old. Look at verse 24 and 25. Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begot Terah. And Nahor lived after he got Terah 119 years and he begot sons and daughters. And of course, that Nahor is his grandfather, Abraham's grandfather. And Terah lived 70 years and he begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And so, but what I want you to see was this. They went from 950 with Noah, then to his son went to, was 600, 602 was Shem, then Shem's son only lived to be 438, and they just kept going down. Peleg, 239, and then down to Nahor, 148. You say, how could that be possible? Because I believe because the world wasn't protected. No, God had like canopy. Look up here, church. God had like a canopy over this earth. It was protecting from all the violet rays and all the... And Mike, when God had the flood, he opened it up. And there was no more protective screen, Wade. There was no more protection around the earth that stopped them, the sun rays and different things that God let people live longer because they were in a greater environment. How many see that? And so I want you to see that. And it's all 8 o'clock. Wow. Well, let me give you one last thought. So I'm going to tell you right now. Isn't that something, Lizzie? That sin always brings death, don't it? And then lastly, for tonight, Genesis chapter 9, I just wanted you to see that, the rainbow. Every time you see a rainbow, stop and show your kids and your grandkids the rainbow. I make a big fuss over the rainbow every time I see it. When you see a rainbow, one thing for sure, you know God's alive. And I look at 9:11 of Genesis. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood. Neither shall anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. Yeah, we have floods in different locations of the earth, but not a worldwide flood. That's Brother Billy, that's why we know, again, there was a worldwide flood, because everybody was destroyed, and God's saying, I'll never destroy the world again with a flood. He's talking about a worldwide flood. Next time he's going to burn the whole world up. He's going to burn it up. And that's something, one time he used water, next time he's using fire, amen? I'm glad I'm on the winning side, amen? And God said, this is a token of a covenant which I make between you and you and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. By the way, there'll be a rainbow in heaven. It's a different color. But I've preached a message on that too. There'll be a rainbow. It's emerald in heaven. But look at verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Yeah, every time you see that, you can say, there God is. God's going to, you can say, oh, mommy's going to flood the whole world. You know, it doesn't mean nothing to us now because we know it's not going to happen. But I bet it meant a lot to Noah's kids. When it started to rain up, oh, Dad, he's going to flood the whole world again. No, see that rainbow? He promised us he's not going to flood it again. And it shall come, look at verse 16, and the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the flesh that's upon the earth. Whew. That's exciting. I'm glad we got a God that keeps his word. Amen? Yes. Perpetual means it never ends. Never ending. It keeps going forever. You can't stop it. Just keep trying on going. It's been going for thousands of years now. It's still there, isn't it? Well, that's just a few things. There's lots of more things I could show you, but it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to stop. But maybe next Wednesday I'll pick out. As we keep reading, maybe preacher will keep picking some things out. I think I'm going to preach over. I think I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning unless the Lord changes my heart out of Genesis 2. And you can always tell where Lester Roloff was reading. Roloff, wherever he was reading, that's where he preached. That's probably what I'll be doing the next few weeks here, just preaching where I read. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we're glad we could be in church tonight. I pray we said something that would be an encouragement to people. I'm so glad you're a great, mighty God. Oh, Lord. I'm so great. I'm so proud to be a child of God. Oh, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving us, and for shedding your blood on Calvary's cross. And thank you for raising that day, that third day, like you said you would. And, Lord, you're in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Lord, I'm glad we got the promise of eternal life, sins forgiven, home in heaven. One day a new body, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Lord, I'm so glad to have those promises. Thank you for that rainbow. Every time and Lord, it's so beautiful. Oh, you're so artistic. God, what a great creator you are, Father. Thank you for all the great creations you've given us. Help us to look to you for all things, Father. And I pray you'll bless the people tonight. And Father, just thank you for the time we had in your word. Help us to grow in grace this year as we study it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing one verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, if you never trusted Christ, you want to be saved, you come. You want to pray, you come. You're going to get baptized, you come. Nick, come right now, Nick. And whatever God might have in your heart, you just come right now as Mark leads us in his song.